This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horseman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horseman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. We just finished Hometowns, episode 8, late in season, so we're going to recap that. Before we get into that, let's talk about what we got going on coming weeks and what we did last weekend. Let's see, I was in Minneapolis on Thursday. Shout out to University of Minnesota. We had a fun little trivia night and then a DJ set, so it was really cool. Freezing, complete blizzard out there, like you would, you know, the most stereotypical weekend in Minneapolis, but a lot of fun. And shout out to the student union over there. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time. And dude, I'll tell you what, here we go, dude. I'm going to ask you some of the questions because there were two questions I didn't know. And I'm pretty good at my bachelor trivia.
Oh, I'm not going to know this then.
But let's see. I would like to see if anybody, I was going to post on my story, but there are two questions that were really hard. Three, I guess, kind of. First one was, who was the oldest bachelor? It's not who you think.
I don't know. I've only been watching since Ben's season. So I don't know.
So a lot of people obviously. Prior. Yeah. So a lot of people obviously said it was Nick Vial.
I was going to say Souls.
No. So a lot of people thought it was Nick Vial. It's, because that was like his, it was, dude, you have no idea. I didn't know who it was. It was some second, the got bachelor who was second, the second bachelor.
Was it the Goody or the Firestone guy?
No. It was like some Taylor, I think, or Tyler something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. But then the other two were super hard, dude. One was, and this is going to be shocking, I think, to people, how many couples from The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and Paradise are still together? Throw out a number. What do you think it is?
Oh, I'm going to go under 10.
As of right now.
I would say under 10.
26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Holy shit.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, that's all
so it's successful. So it's probably still around like 14%. It works.
Yeah, which is better than honestly regular life, I feel like. But I think over half of that is Paradise. And Paradise has only been around for like, okay, really, seasons.
I was saying actually like the contestant winners. I didn't even.
No. I said Paradise. Yeah. It's all three. Because I think it was nine. I think nine was just Bachelor, Bachelorette, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 26, that's pretty good.
So I would have nailed that one under 10.
26 is pretty good. And then the other one was, what was the other one? How many seasons Bachelor and just Bachelorette ended without a proposal?
Just Bachelor?
Yeah, Bachelor and Bachelorette. No Paradise, obviously, but Bachelor and Bachelorette.
One.
Nine.
Wow.
I know. I know. Those are like the three.
Edit all this out because I shouldn't be a part of this podcast.
No. I want to. No, don't edit it out. Because I want to see if the audience knows it. I didn't know. I had to go up to the people and was like, what is that name?
I'm actually proud of myself that I'm way off. Like, I shouldn't know this shit.
Yeah. But those Bachelor trivias are really fun, actually. I always learn something new.
That's funny. That's like the Sports Center. Did you know?
Yeah,
and it's like, where the fuck did they get this from?
Dude, I did one out in Green Bay, and two girls were on a team, and they got every single question right. And they knew it like right away. I saw them writing like right away.
They had a cheat.
They're just big fans. I bet my mom could probably do pretty good on one of those, to be honest. But it was fun. And then
Friday night, shout out James Kennedy.
James Kennedy came through.
Oh, man.
Put on a that show. Guy. Woo. Put on a show at My High Spirits.
Yeah,
he had his shirt off by the third song, doing push-ups on the DJ booth.
Yeah,
he was wild, man. He was wild, but it was a fun
he's
night.
He's got a lot of energy, man.
Yeah,
it's all original music. Like it.
Yeah,
he did pretty good stuff, man.
Yeah, he's
it's a
very
show.
Different than me.
It's very different. Yeah.
Yeah. Not many lyrics. It's very much more like, well, at least this set, maybe other sets are different, but this set was like very much, there wasn't a lyric for like 45 mm-hmm. minutes. I think it was just like a lot of beats, which is great. Like, and that's kind of the new thing, honestly, is that like house, deep techno type music. And then,
I do love his passion for the,
yeah, he's
for,
very for passionate the, about his music
for the DJ game.
Mm-hmm. very passionate about his music. But see, I think the difference between me and him too is I have crazy high energy too when I'm DJing, but then I can turn it off where I think he's just high energy. Like
that guy burns more calories. That might be the only DJ that burns more calories than you.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. He had a pool of sweat beneath him and his shirt off and he was still sweating like crazy. Yeah.
The stage was so,
but again, he was like, he's like that in real life too, off the stage where I'm not quite as energetic off. When music starts, I get it. You know, I get the energy, but yeah, he's really passionate though. And that you're right. That sitting at dinner with him, talking to him about music was pretty cool. He loves what he does. That's for sure. That is for sure.
And also, actually, I would like to catch up with Eddie too. Like, obviously, we are in Houston doing the home opener for the Dynamo.
A lot of fun.
That'll be, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Know the soccer, dude. I think it's going to be crazy. Very much, but yeah.
Soccer crowds are, I mean, from everything I've heard and seen, they're wild. So I think it's going to be a good time for sure.
I know Eddie was at CRS this week, so he probably caught up with a lot of industry folk and artists. Oh, yeah.
Lots of, I actually almost have my voice back. It's like 4 days of yelling over the bands playing at Bar Lines there at the Omni. And it was really good. Got to see a lot of new country people, a lot of people we already know, and it was good times.
I always love getting random pictures of Eddie with artists flipping me off.
George Burge had breakfast with him on Friday, and every time George Burge poses for a picture for you, he's flipping off. So I don't know what you guys have going, but he's like, hey, let's do a selfie and send it to Eric. I'm like, okay. He assumes the pose.
It also sounds like you got bushwhacked on Broadway with those bushwhackers, man.
Eric knows what that's like.
You got to try it once.
I do not.
There's an adult Wendy's Frosty that will just, it fucks you up.
Like 20% really alcohol, 30% alcohol. It's like drinking two bottles of wine.
Caught up with everyone. I'm trying to think who's been on that I talked to, but pretty much all of them.
I've actually never been. I know you have, Eric, but I've never been there.
Oh, I love CRS. It's a fun industry week.
Yeah, country radio seminar for the non-people who were just throwing CRS around.
Yeah. It's really a good, you'll fucking go to any bar. Yeah, Bar Lines at the Omni Hotel. You'll be drinking with like Michael Ray and just everybody just sitting there in the bar, lobby bar, just drinking.
I love country music.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you should just coincidentally book a trip next year at about that time. It's funny, a lot of the townies figure it out and they'll just start showing up and they'll just hang out in the lobby of the Omni. And I saw Scotty McCreary came in and he's just trying to walk. And like every 3 feet, somebody stops him. Can I get a picture? And they're so nice. They got patience. I don't.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Blake. I don't have that patience. So I'm like, fucking go, Blake.
Let's go.
No.
We got a flight
it's
okay to catch.
To say no.
Yeah.
Oh, also, I got a text from Lana Scott that we had on two or three weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she was telling us that she was going to do a studio version of Wildest Dreams. And it comes out today. So wherever you get your music, check it out. She sent me a copy in advance over the weekend. Man, it's good.
That's right. What is today? It's my birthday.
Yay!
Actually.
Yeah. Oh, yes!
It's your birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday to Eric, everybody. Yeah. Go wish Eric a happy birthday. Should we say how old you are? I know you get all
27, I believe.
27.
Every year he increments it by a quarter of a year.
Yeah, it's forever 30.
Oh no, but happy birthday. Yeah, I think. Oh, and then I was out in gonna be out in New York. Pace University. Out in Pleasantville. So not New York, New York.
Pleasantville. Wasn't that like a show on WB?
Yeah. I think it was like a Marvel show or like a superhero show or something. But so it's about an hour north of NYC. But I'm excited to do the watch party out there. So shout out to Pace University. And shall we get into it? Oh, and then what do we got coming up this weekend?
Oh, Bourbon.
Bourbon Street back in Chicago.
Fuck. I'm so lost with days.
Dude, I know my days are messed up too. So we're back out at Bourbon Street in Chicago. So come out this weekend. It's going to be a fun time. As usual, it's always a blast out there. So it's good to be back. So
be probably celebrating my birthday.
Yeah.
I'll have some special guests, you know. Everyone always comes to see me anyway.
It's true. It's true.
We'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dude, let's do this. Let's get into the recap. Hometowns, baby. Hometowns always. I actually enjoy hometowns. I love meeting people's families.
I love seeing the parents.
Yeah, me too. I love seeing the parents, how they react. I love seeing how the contestants react to the family. They're all, you know, usually crying and they're so happy to see their family. It is huge, you know, being there. Like, I've been in that position where it feels like you've been away from your family for like a year and it's high stress. And they're like, there's something like, I don't know, it just feels good to be home. You know, it feels good to be in like this safe zone. But this is that was a pretty good episode. It was probably the least, in my opinion, probably one of the least dramatic hometowns we've had. Like, I feel like there wasn't any huge drama, you know? No. Like, I think probably the crazy, I mean, I remember Victoria and Peter. Remember, Peter didn't even go to see Victoria Fuller's family. Remember that?
I just remember something like it just stayed outside of her house.
Yeah, the whole time, they stayed outside the house because he got told about, you know, Victoria and rumors or whatever. And he approached her and then they didn't even go and see her family. And then what are some other crazy like hometowns? Dean's hometown was pretty intense. Actually, never seen it, but I've heard about it with his dad.
My favorite part of hometowns is because like Bachelorette, I love watching the moms of the fellas because everyone's a mama's boy. Mm. And when it's the Bachelor, I love watching the dads and how they like connect with the lead.
And that's how it airs too. Like you see more of the moms on the Bachelor, you see more, more of the dads on the Bachelor, more of the moms on the Bachelorette. Yeah. So it is really cool. And I there were some gems of fathers. Honestly, all of them were pretty, I mean, like, you know, I mean,
Tony,
just incredible. Well, we'll get started.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get started with Susie. Susie's hometown's first. And I did want to talk about the dynamic too of like having a hometown first and then also last. This is where it gets, obviously it's very serious. You know, people are saying they're falling in love and in love with them. Hometowns takes a very long time, guys. So like the first, whatever, 5 weeks or sorry, six, what episode are we on now? Eight. Right? Seven episodes, guys, is done in literally like 4 or 5 weeks. And then hometowns alone is almost 2 weeks. So I want to emphasize that because I had the third hometown and I didn't see Becca for 10 days. So it is like, it is very hard. It is very, very hard. Susie having the first one is great because you see him right away, but then she's got to wait a really long time. But Susie's hometown was honestly like smooth as buck. Like I was like, damn, like this is the nothing really intense happened. Awesome conversations. It was just like, I was like, damn, this is almost like I'm watching
Supernatural.
It's a good word for it. Natural. You know, she was obviously very excited to see her family. You know, a sweet family. The conversations, there's always like a theme, you know, at each hometown, even throughout the whole episode, if you will. And one of the most popular, right, is like, don't hurt my daughter, obviously. And then also like, you know, there's three other girls. Like, how are you handling that? How are you coping with that? And I thought Susie handled and Clayton handled all the questions well from her family. Is there anything that you think like stuck out really?
The biggest thing the only thing that stuck out, I think, is when her mom asked Clayton, do you love her? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
And then she gave Susie the advice to proceed with caution.
Caution. Yeah. Yeah. Which, that's good advice.
Clayton and her, the biggest thing though from that I felt like was Susie was so into getting her dad's acceptance because like obviously her and her dad have a very dynamic relationship,
like very close,
and he seemed to have loved Clayton.
Yeah, I agree. He really liked, and I thought it was like, obviously this, you know, he talked about the story of like Susie being by her bed, his bedside and everything. And like, just how much of a gem and how lucky Clayton is, you know,
and loyal.
I think that was
like the biggest thing he was pressing.
Mm-hmm. It was like, him. You are a lucky man. Like,
yeah.
Like, didn't he say like, I don't know how she's not wiped up yet or whatever. And Clayton was like, God, me neither. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, that was a cool moment. And yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Susie's a gem, and I think she's, yeah, I mean, there was a moment, I think, when his mom was her mom was like, you know, she'll be loyal if you're loyal, that kind of thing. Or she'll be like, you know, she'll be like by your side no matter what. And so, I mean, it was smooth. It was natural. Like it, they seemed very comfortable with each other. Yeah. So I don't know what else to say. Which is a good thing. You know, it's usually, if you don't have anything to say, like, that means it went really, really well.
And so, if you're the lead, man, it's got to just feel good to be like accepted. Like, yep. Or feel comfortable in that situation. Like, especially like you mentioned, like going 10 to probably 12 days without seeing her again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least that set the bar high for the rest of the families, probably in his head. Like, all right, knocked out the first one, let's go.
Yeah. And I think, and
especially
exactly
how his mentality seems to be. Exactly.
He's probably one of the more
validation.
He's probably one of the more, and I don't like using this word, but like, he's probably one of the more insecure bachelors we've had. You know, he had a lot of people leave home, you know, go home on him. He had like,
I mean, shit, so, start out the show getting rejected.
Yeah, exactly. So. Getting basically dumped. So like, yeah, I'm glad this was definitely a good start. So I'm glad Susie was the first hometown, but it went really smooth. And then we move on to Gabby's hometown, Denver, Colorado, baby, in the Rocky Mountains. Nothing like a good hot tub in the mountains. I say that a lot, but that was even more magical than like, that was pretty cool. Their little daytime part with that hot tub. The most bachelor thing ever.
Yeah. I loved her like right off the jump. She's like, yeah, you got to cut down trees and fight bears to meet my family. Like, Gabby's a fucking riot, man.
Yeah. Such a Speaking hoot. Of Gabby being a riot, so was her family, dude.
Oh, man. Her grandpa.
Yeah, I want to just have a beer with that man. I want to hang out with that man. I absolutely loved her family dynamic. It was so funny right away when they sat down and Clayton's like, yeah, let's talk about how you came out of the limo. And she got all embarrassed. Oh, yeah. And like, she was like, oh no, I thought for a sec, she was actually kind of a little angry at Clayton for bringing it up. But her family, like, you know, she told the pillow story and her family loved it. Her grandpa was laughing really hard and was like, that's good.
She was just like, Gabriella, but he was dying.
Yeah, Gabriella. Yeah. So, yeah, it was awesome. And you know, the theme of this hometown was the fact that her dad couldn't be there because her father's girlfriend of like 10 years diagnosed with cancer.
And I wanted to ask COVID, you about
their
that,
immune system's down.
His kind of entrance in tonight's episode, like, I get the sign thing, but like how much it was played off, like, why wouldn't you like actually speak, like have like some kind of dialogue there?
Yeah, I mean, so it's funny. It's obviously very Hollywood. The like, yeah, whatever.
Well, and I think that was kind of a thing during COVID too. Like, yeah, it was super sweet.
Yeah, I was tearing up,
and I loved it. But and I know that was the thing through COVID, like, you know, like the drive-bys or whatever.
Yeah, and the waving. That's what I thought it was going to be, just him waving. He was actually
if you're going to get out, like, why wouldn't you like actually like say those words?
So I think it would have been really weird of them just yelling. Like, hi, yeah. Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? You know, I think that would have been a weird thing. And I'm sure, honestly, they probably did do that. But I think for the episode part, like the
production
the production value, they did the sign thing. So I'm sure they did do a little, I love you, you know, like one of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I fucking teared up, man. And I don't tear up too often during hometowns, especially. I thought that was a really sweet moment. And, you know, Gabby, obviously, it meant a lot to her. And it was clearly a complete surprise. Like, as soon as she opened the door and saw them, her face was in her hands and everything. That was cool. But I loved the conversation too with her grandpa and Clayton.
Oh my God. What do you think? I think he's full of shit.
Yeah. And damn, did the production use that for previews.
I thought he was like talking down on him. Too. I was like, but then it was like, anyone who could possibly like you has to be full of shit.
Yeah. And then she's like giving him a couple kidney shots, like punches. Yeah.
Totally. No, her see family's where Gabby great. Got that sense of humor from now. Like, oh man.
Yeah. Oh, her family's great. I mean, it was just, it was another good hometown. You know, I don't think you know, anything crazy. It wasn't a ton of drama. I literally thought that was gonna be the most dramatic hometown because of the previews, and he was full of shit, you know. And,
yeah.
But it was, you know, her sister, you know, were those her sisters? No, those were her.
I think it was aunt and cousin.
Aunt and cousin. Yeah, I think maybe. That's who it was. They were great too. They were talking, you know, like, if you hurt her, I'm going to find you, you know, something like that or whatever. Like, just a really cool, you know, fun atmosphere vibe with the family. And it ended, I mean, really well. I think,
well, you know, it ended where she kind of like said she was waiting for that moment with her family.
Yeah.
So before like, she kind of decided or like opened up and was like, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. But she didn't say it to him, right?
She said it tonight. She's like, she finally shares that she's falling in love with him.
Falling. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that. Yeah.
I mean, only one person said, I love you, and they got sent home tonight.
Yeah, so. I know. And that's we'll just go to that hometown now. Yeah, so, we got Serene next.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, we got Serene next. I enjoy, first of all, they're freaking like, I don't know, whatever it was, like, bungee cord? What is it? Was that bungee?
Is it like a rope course? Or
yeah,
it was bungee some kind of course,
guess, right? And you jump, you fall, you step well, off.
Yeah, yeah, but like, feet. Yeah, you like yeah. climb up and go through mm-hmm. the obstacles, and then man,
crazy. Yeah, that I love doing that kind of stuff, so I do that in a second. But
not me.
Yeah, you don't like that. I love Serene. She just seems like such a sweet, sweet soul, and she enjoys having fun. Clearly likes taking, you know, chances. And her family, like, I loved her brother a lot. He seems mm-hmm. like that brother is like super protective, obviously. He's protective, but at the same time, he loves her so much. He just wants to see her happy. And like, she even said he teared up during their conversation. She's like, I've never seen my brother get emotional before.
That seemed to be the theme of her mm-hmm. family time was like, oh my God, she's opening up to you. And we've known her whole life and she's never said anything to us.
Yeah, that was like a huge theme. It's like they were just shocked that she even told him about like her cousin that passed and like all these traumas she had in her life. They were like legitimately shook because they were like, she doesn't open up to anybody, you know? She doesn't open up to anybody. And she opened up to you. Not only did she open up to you, but she opened up to you, you know, within a month or however long you guys have known each other. So that's a huge theme. And I think it's just a nod not only to how Serene feels about Clayton, but also that environment. You know, I think that environment, you just have to do it. You know, you can't have any walls up and you just got to go for it. But another like theme throughout not only Serene's, but other people's dates in hometowns. And this is something that, you know, during my hometown was big is like, I think Serene's brother even said, he's like, I'm not listening to what she says as much as I'm watching how she acts around you.
You read those nonverbals, mm-hmm. like that nonverbals and body language say so much more mm-hmm. than words,
mm-hmm. especially on camera, anything, you know,
or just anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, on camera, especially like, right. Cause you're trying to say the right thing. Like they're thinking, you're trying to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. So nonverbals are huge. And I think every single hometown, the mom or the dad or whoever was like, or grandpa, whoever was like, you seem extremely happy. They walk in the door and you're beaming, you're lit up, you know, you're lighting up. Like, we've never seen you this happy. So, and that was something my mom said is like, it's always, you know, like I'm happy, like, please don't hurt my son or whatever. But, you know, he just seems, I was super skeptical at first, but as soon as I saw you guys walk in, it's like, oh my God, he's so happy. And that seemed to be the theme throughout all four. It was like, everybody was just super excited. And I think that says a lot about Clayton too. Like these women are into him. I know there's going to be some questions, I think, because, you know, there's some women who went home and a lot of people like, I don't know, he, you know, the drama this season. But I think these four are legitimately into him. Right. And Serene, obviously, at the end of this date, says she is in love to Clayton. In love. What did you think about his reaction?
I think he handled it. I mean, because like even when he was talking with her brother, because her brother asked, are you in love with her? And he was like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then.
Right answer.
Yeah.
Even if you're 100%. There, I wouldn't say it. Yeah.
Right yeah. Answer. But he didn't say he could get there. Like he had said with Susie's mom earlier or mm-hmm. like in the show,
mm-hmm.
but with Serene, I think he handled it as well as he could. Cause he might've let her made her feel pretty good. Cause he was like, he lit up, but then,
yeah, so that's what I was going to say too. Like, obviously, I've done it. It's a very weird feeling to say I love you, and then you do not expect it back. Like, mm-hmm. you almost know that person is not going to say it back. It is a really weird thing because that's like the only time that ever happens. Like usually when you say, I love you, you want to hear it back, but you know, you're not going to hear it. He beat you right. He lit up.
And in the real world, we're probably just going to say it back and be like,
no matter what, right? Like,
yeah, you're fuck, I don't feel this, but I'm still going to say this right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to hurt her.
Yeah.
It's like,
when you hurt her worse,
screw up and then ask for forgiveness later. What's that saying?
Instead of ask permission, you ask for forgiveness, whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We'll be right back.
So I thought he handled it well, right? He did smile pretty big and he was excited, but I thought I saw like his mind being like, oh fuck. Cause like, I think at that point he knew Serena's probably going home. So I think he kind of, he did well. Like you can't show that, you know, you can't show that as a lead, but I think I could see behind his smile that he was like, like kind of grimacing almost like fuck. I feel for Serena. Cause I do think she's genuine. She was the first person and only person this episode. The first person to say I'm in love.
She's
right?
The only one.
Yeah. The only one. Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. they're all falling. She's in love.
And she was the first person to say I'm falling too. She said it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and now
she
said I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, she fucking put it all out there, man. She's going to have no what ifs. No, you know, she did it all, man. She threw herself out there. So shout out
to
Serena.
The point of the show.
Yeah, exactly. And she's a beautiful woman and she's going to be, I mean, we already said she's going home. She's going to be the girl in paradise. I believe that.
She'll be one of them.
I think she's going to be between maybe, you know, Gabby and Susie or Rachel, whoever they, one of those might be first sand, but I think Serene's second sand. I really do. I think she's going to be very popular in paradise. I think she's got great personality. She's a beautiful woman. And yeah, I think she's going to be very popular pair.
Man, talking about him, I just don't even think any of these bachelor dudes are worthy of these final four.
Okay,
girls.
So we're like, getting into that. I actually wanted to talk about this because I read an article the other day. But we'll get into it. But
yeah,
before we do, let's go into Rachel's hometown.
Tony. No, we're skipping ahead. Kayaking.
They went kayaking. Fuck this, dude. Kayaking and like it looked like the fucking Nile.
Like, it almost looked
giant spiders.
Alligators. Did you notice that spider though? That was a spider that had like all the babies.
Dude, yeah, it was terrifying.
Like it probably fucking had like a thousand little fucking spiders on it. Yeah. Like, God.
And it gives me and I don't even mind spiders that much. I can't do snakes, but I don't mind spiders.
I'm terrified.
That spider
snakes,
fucking
spiders.
Freaks me out. And there's gators and interesting hometown little day date.
It almost looked like it was probably like kind of like an amusement park you could kind of probably go through though, because that water was crystal. There ain't no water like
swamp
water.
Yeah.
That looks like that, and you're not jumping off of a kissing pond or a kissing tree into the water.
I was thinking the
There's
same
any
thing. I'm
alligators
like
alligators there or water moccasins. No.
Yeah, I was thinking this. I was like, are they literally diving in the same river they just kayaked in that had like fucking the like. Some serious insects and snakes.
Got to be real of that alligator.
It might have been
100% like at a golf course or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was from 4 seasons ago. The alligators resurfaced. Yeah, they're using the same alligators they did 4 years ago. But yeah, cute. Listen, they're great together. I'll tell you what though, like I loved when he jumped on her, you know, for the hug. Like just kind of cute little moments like that. You know,
he lost her. You couldn't even see her.
I know. He comes up to her beneath it like his rib cage. I was going to say,
I think he literally threw his whole leg was over his shoulder. So,
yeah, I know. But I tell you what, it was so funny when she started talking. You know, obviously, she lost. I don't know how she lost. Yeah, she lost her voice at some point. And listen, we do get sick, very sick, because obviously the lead's kissing everybody. I remember Garrett, my season, had fucking mono, dude. Garrett got mono. He got mono week like 3. And we were all like, geez, man. So we all got sick. We all got super sick on Becca's season. At first I was like, why is
so PSA random ladies, guys, don't hook up with bachelor contestants.
Not give it a good couple months after we're off the show.
Herpes, but, that shit don't that, that's, that'll stay with you.
And we all get tested for that. I promise you.
I'm kidding.
But her voice, it was like funny because I was like, has she been? Because she's a whisperer.
I was like, why is she whispering the whole show?
I know. She's whispering in her ITMs now, too. I was like, what the fuck? Because she whispers it. Like, there was moments tonight where I couldn't hear it at all. I was like, had to turn up the volume.
Especially the end after, like, the five family thing. I was like,
Yeah.
She's really pillow talking like this. This whole time.
Yeah. But this, in my opinion, was probably the most interesting hometown. She was genuinely terrified of what her father was going to do to Clayton.
Oh, she straight up told him he's an asshole.
She's like, he's an asshole. Anybody I brought home, he fucking hates him. And so honestly, I'd be shitting myself if I was Clayton. I'd be a little worried. I'd be scared going into that. I've never had a woman tell me that, but I'd be scared.
Yeah. It was just so funny too. Did you notice like right when they walked in, mom was super excited. Fill me in. Tell me about everything. Dad's just,
I know, just straight face.
Just like straight statue.
He just seems like one of those good old boys. Like
I feel like that'd be like the dad I'd be. Like,
you think? I don't think so. I think you'd actually be a sucker. No, I think you'd be a sucker.
No, I don't know.
I think you'd be a sucker, dude.
So protective over your baby, man.
Yeah, but even at the end, he's like, I'm not much of a hugger, so I'll shake your hand. You know,
if I pat you on the arm, like that, you're in, bro.
But in my opinion, through all their conversation and everything, it felt like he actually held back for Rachel's sake. I think if those cameras weren't there, I think he would have been more of a bit of an asshole because it seemed like he held back for Rachel. Because, during their conversation, he was like, yeah, I am an asshole. I am. But I did good tonight. Like, I was on my best behavior. Like, that's what it sounded like.
It was just so awesome. Like, this is why I say I'd probably be like that, because it's like, you're going to, I'd be a for sure asshole to my, whatever dude she brings, bring around. But then, like, the moment you're with your daughter and you talk with her, oh, silly putty. Just anything you want me to do, babe.
Good. He kind of was like that. Like,
and he broke down and started shedding tears.
Mm-hmm. She was crying.
Mm-hmm. And he even said it. He said it like three times. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm a bit of a dick.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dick. But he said he was like, I like him. Yeah. You know, he's like, he's a nice guy. And I think the biggest, you know, theme again for this one was obviously if her dad was going to tear into Clayton or not. But I thought he asked some really good questions and, you know, about like, have you guys talked about the future? Right. You know, and like, she's going to be a pilot and what happens if she's working out in Europe and, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. I thought that was a really good question. And Clayton, this was the most eloquent I've seen Clayton all season. He had phenomenal answers for every question. He spoke really well. Like, I think he is a good, you know, he can't speak really well. I just don't think they've showed a lot of it. Just like little, like, this is the most I've heard him talk at once. Like, I feel like most times he's just answering questions from the Bachelorette or like being like, thank you for sharing, you know? Yeah. So like, this was really cool to see. I actually saw, I was like, oh, Clayton is actually like a very intelligent, well-spoken man.
Yeah. And I've been saying this, I think, since Rachel's season, like he does have a lot of depth to him. Like he's a pretty sharp dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it definitely shined. He shined in this moment because her dad was like, asked him, there was one other question he asked that I was like, damn, Clayton, that was a great answer. And I think it had to do with maybe the other three girls.
He's like, I'm going to hurt three other women.
Yes. Yep. Which is so true. And I think, and I want to, dude, because from what I've heard about this woman till all man, he gets roasted by the girls. And I think it's such bullshit. I'm just going to say that now because the lead deserves all the grace in the world. And I've been somebody who's been dumped by the lead and so on and so forth. And like, they deserve a lot of grace because what people don't understand, people think it's fun, right? You're dating 30 girls. You're like, you know, it's like, it's a lot of fun. You went on these extravagant dates, but it's not, guys. It is very, very hard. And if you're a good person, which I think Clayton is, and I think most of the leads are, it hurts. It hurts to hurt people. And it's constantly weighing on you. You don't sleep. Like, you're terrified of breaking people's hearts. And so I thought he very eloquently was able to explain, like, listen, you know, everybody thinks like they're very jealous of me, but like, I'm not even jealous of myself. Like, I know I have to hurt three people coming up and it's going to kill me. And I thought it was I thought he handled that situation really well.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, what's fun about hurting people?
Yeah, exactly. And and I could tell Clayton does like hates hurt, you know, he's a really good guy and he hates hurting people.
And especially like you have these four, like, and this might be like the best final four of just pure, genuine, like, women. Like, these women are really awesome.
I know.
Like, each one of them are great. I do say that every year. Leave me alone, dude.
But you're just like the other.
That's my merch, bro.
best Final Four yet.
Yeah.
Just like all the other audience members, though. If you go on like the fucking web pages and Facebook, it's like every season it's like, this is the best Final Four ever. And then 3 months after the show fucking airs, it's like, oh my God, that was the worst Final Four ever. So like, it's just really funny to, cause I get it. Like you're, what are we, like victims of the moment, right? You're like victims of the moment.
The show's got but me,
this
man.
Is a really
Leave
good
me alone.
Final, this is a really good Final Four.
Let me live.
After, I mean, we've seen some things happen and I think I'm really excited. I'm interested to see Women Tell All, because honestly, other than these Final Four, this group of girls are a little rough, man, because from some of the things I've heard, I'm like, damn. Yeah. So we'll see about this Women Tell All. I mean, cause it just filmed last week for those of you that don't know, and it's going to air next week. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Anything else about Rachel? I thought went really well.
I mean, I think for sure she's got a pretty big lock, I think, ahead on
that. Was I was just
going to
ask
though,
you, think
like,
she's still got number one on lock,
I think,
right now?
I think just like watching him with her family and just they have every dynamic, intimate, emotional,
funny, humor, like playful, goofiness.
They pretty much have like everything you could look for, like when starting a relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think now it's Rachel and Susie are neck and neck. I think Susie had an incredible hometown.
I think Gabby's kind of the dark horse.
Yeah, Gabby's a dark horse. I think though, so I was saying before, you know, we've never really, when we talk about the Bachelorette, right, the next Bachelorette, we've never really talked about what happens if none of the girls get picked. Like Rachel could be in the Bachelorette. Very easily could be the Bachelorette. We got another pilot, right? We got another, like, that would be her
pilot
whole
Susie.
Theme
I'm
of
sorry,
her
pilot
season.
Rachel.
Yeah, pilot Rachel.
Well, that's her Instagram handle anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I started thinking, like, maybe Rachel could be the Bachelorette after all this. But I think Gabby actually had the best quote-unquote Bachelorette showing this week. I thought just her goofiness, her playfulness. And listen, the audience, like, right, us as viewers, we can say all we want this person. All it comes down to is honestly, for the most part, who the producers get along with the best and who they think would be the easiest, not only to like film and interact with and hang out with for 3 months, but who to manipulate and who to mold and who to be able to, like, you know, I guess like play with almost. And I think that's Gabby. I think Gabby is who the producers right now are looking at. And because I think I'd love to work with her for 3 months, right? Like her personality wise, but she's super laid back. She seems super laid back. So that they take that into account. They don't want to work with somebody who's incredible.
And she could hold the attention of an audience, you know, for a whole season, I think, like better than some of the others, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's who I think was walking out right now. We just said, you know, she's probably the dark horse. I don't know if she's going to win. Her and Susie and I could see Serene as the Bachelorette. I mean, she's any of these four. It's a really, like I said, it's a really good Final Four. That preview though, man, that preview.
I can't wait to see who,
man, poor Clayton,
man,
I feel for him, man.
There's a lot going on in this next week episode.
He is gonna get murdered, man, and I feel so bad for him. I do, because we've met him. Nice guy. Seems very naive. You know, I think he went into this very naive. He had zero time between The Bachelorette and The Bachelor. Didn't really get out. So he's been in the bubble. You got to think about it. He's been in the bubble damn near 6 months, guys. So I think the producers took advantage of that. And I think they knew that. And man, to say I love you to three girls, sleep with multiple girls, then say it to them and tell them. Man, I feel for this man. I think he's going to get roasted pretty hard and murdered pretty hard, man, after the Final Rose. And it sounds like Women Tell All, too. So I feel for him. I don't think he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. It's going to be interesting.
He knew what he was getting himself into in the fantasy suites, though.
Yeah, he wanted to get himself in.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting, man,
who
next couple
to say
episodes.
No?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Twitter's going to be a dumpster fire. Poor guy. But I could see him, like I said, with, I think, Susie and Rachel. That's who I think it's coming down to. But we shall see. No more Serene. We'll see her on the beach for sure. For sure. So,
and we'll probably see the other two.
Mm-hmm, whoever it is.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Oh, that's what I want to get into. Paradise, dude, real quick before we let you go. I read somewhere the other day, they broke down, right? Like the men who might be down there and the women. And actually, there's not going to be that many women, right? Because they had two. No, wait. Am I saying that? No. there's going to be a lot of women. Sorry. There's going to be a lot of women, not as many guys. Because there's two bachelorette seasons on The Last Paradise. There were two bachelorette seasons on The Last Paradise. So really it's only, who was the last bachelorette? Jeez.
Michelle.
Michelle's guys, right? Because Katie's guys were already down there. Am I saying
that? Yeah.
God, maybe I messed this whole segment up because I can't remember now.
Yeah, because like, wasn't Aaron was on Katie's season, right?
Yeah. You're right. Yep. So really it's only one season of that, when actually, as far as women, there's a ton of women. So it's going to be interesting to see, because I mean, right now, oh no. Oh, dude, Blake Moynes, I think might be, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Like, I could see Andrew Aspian down there.
Andrew for sure is a lock. Drake has a girlfriend right now, so I don't know if he'll probably be single by the time Paradise rolls around.
And then
Blake Moynes, I could see him going down there.
Then you'll have Michelle's guys. So like Rodney, Brandon. I don't know why I can't draw a blank on the rest of the cast, but
that's the thing. Yeah. But then women wise, I think there's a ton of women. So it's going to be interesting Paradise, but I mean, Paradise has become the flagship, I feel like, show now. Bachelorette's getting terrible ratings, and it's just not what it used to be. But Paradise is now, I think, probably the most popular show. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Then they need to do it like that competition, like the summer or the winter
games
that they did.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever do that though.
They should do some kind of competition spinoff.
They might. I like the idea of that too. Is like if you win a date or win a game, you get a date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like that too. I don't know. We'll see. I guess I don't think they'll ever do that. And they might do another show though. Have Paradise and another like a winter game type show.
And it looks like the senior one might be coming back too. So that'll be great.
I hope so, man. I was so looking forward to that. It'd be so fun to watch, man. I think they'd get such high ratings.
I know, man, I would love to, like, I know Gabby got a little emotional because grandpa was still wearing the ring.
Could you
imagine just like the banter, like of like Gabby's father on a show?
Gabby's grandpa. Yeah. It'd be so great. No, I didn't even think about that. You're right. I hope he's on the show. It sounds like he probably wouldn't be, but America would love that man. America would love that man. He'd so be the biggest ladies. Influencer out of everybody.
Yeah. He'll bring IG back.
Yeah. Single-handedly. All right, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. But there are two episodes next week on ABC, guys. So tune into that. You got the Fantasy Suites, which is going to be super intense, yes. It sounds like. And the Women Tell All on Tuesday. So we'll see you guys next week after those.
Behind the Rose is recorded live at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. Be sure to go check out our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast and follow us so you always know when we drop a new episode. And give us all 5 of those stars. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Behind the Rose.